far, what we discussed were a few brief things, starting with the virtues, if you will, and the merits of performing the Hajj. And then we spoke of how to prepare ourselves in more than one way. And we talked about the method of performing the Umrah. The method of performing the Umrah. And we defined what Ihram is, and a few of the basic rules of Ihram that we all need to be aware of. We also talked about something called At-Talbiyah. At-Talbiyah, which means to recite and say the words Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. What I would like to do at this point is once again emphasize on the repetition of the talbiyah. Make sure that while you are in ihram, you are saying it often, because many people miss out on the great rewards from this. And as we said, when an individual says the talbiyah, then everything on his right and on his left whether it be a stone or a tree, whether it is mud, everything repeats the talbiyah along with that individual from all angles. And the Prophet ﷺ also in a hadith mentions that an individual who awakens, man abha yulabbi, whoever awakens and he says the talbiyah until the end of the day, saying the talbiyah, then his sins will be washed away. So there are so many benefits. Think about it. As you are in your ihram, while you're walking, while you're traveling in the plane, while you're in the bus, whatever it may be, others may try to engage you in talk which is not beneficial. Not necessarily, if it's evil, of course you should leave it. But maybe it's just, you know, nonsense talk. Just for the sake of passing the time. La wallahi akhwan. Make sure that you abstain from that, even if it means you have to isolate yourself and sit far away from everyone and say the talbiyah. Wallahi, I was going through some of the ahadith. You know, as for raising the voice, as I told you, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Hajju, Al-Ajju wa Thajj. Al-Ajj, meaning raising the voice in the talbiyah, yelling it out, literally. Wa Thajj, the flowing of the blood on the day of Al-Adha, in other words, the sacrificial animals. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us, Atani Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam came to me. فَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَمُرَ أَصْحَابِي بِرَفْعِ أَصْوَاتِهِمْ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ. And he ordered me to order my companions to raise their voices in the talbiyah. And the Sahaba, they said, as soon as this happened, we raised our voices. حَتَّى بَاحَتْ أَصْوَاتُنَا. Which means that their voices were gone. They lost their voices. This is how loud they recited the talbiyah. This is how loudly they did it. They did it so much that they lost their voices. That if one of them tried to speak, no sound would come out. So I hope that we will be from those who lose our voices in the talbiyah and not in speaking nonsense. Bi-ibnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. As I said, we spoke quickly about the umrah. Quickly, let's walk through the umrah. You get into the state of ihram. And I don't want to go into the details. We talked about it the last time. And as for the talbiyah, before I started with the umrah, until when do you recite it? You continuously recite it. In other words, the time for it is until, if you're in Umrah, until the time you come to the Kaaba when you're going to start your tawaf. This is when you stop with the talbiyah and you start with other things. As for the Hajj, then throughout the Hajj you do it until you get back from Muzdalifah to Mina and you're going to pelt the large pillar, Al-Aqaba, Al-Jamratul Kubra. When you're pelting it, you can still say the talbiyah, and you stop when you complete the pelting of the large jamara, the large pillar. Okay, so the talbiyah, this is the time for it. As for the umrah, you're in a state of ihram. Of course, you do that just before you cross the miqat. All right, upon coming to the Kaaba, you know the du'a for entering the masjid, etc., etc. You come to the Kaaba for the men. You now expose your right shoulder, we face the Kaaba, and let's be practical, because I doubt we're going to be able to get anywhere near to touching it. So with your hand, you indicate towards the black stone, saying, of course, having the niyyah in your heart that you're going to be performing this tawaf. Bismillahi wallahu akbar, without kissing the hand, and you start the tawaf. The Kaaba is on your left, and you are going counterclockwise. No, labbaik Allahumma umrah, we said that before. We said that while entering the state of ihram. So maybe I should have told you the rules of ihram again. When we enter ihram, it is that we say, after having the intention in our hearts, we say labbaik Allahumma umrah, because we're doing tamattu', which means we'll do umrah, then hajj. So we say labbaik Allahumma umrah, this is when you are in the state of ihram now. And of course, you're going to repeat the talbiyah. So we start with the tawaf. 7 circuits, 7 rounds. For the men in particular, the first 3 rounds, if you can pick up the pace, it's all the better. Yeah? And we talked about the hikmah or the wisdom behind that. When you come to Ar-Rukn al-Yamani, which is the corner before the black stone, you're not going to be able to touch it. Reality. If you could, alhamdulillah, you would touch it. Since you're not going to be able to touch it, you don't have to look towards it, you don't indicate, you nothing. You just keep walking. But from the sunnah is, between this pillar and the black stone, to say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Every time you come across to the black stone, you say, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and you continue. What do you say in the tawaf? Say any dua that comes to your mind. This is the time to ask of Allah Azza wa Jal from the bottom of your heart. People say, well, I don't memorize many ad'iyah and so on. Ya akhi, don't walk around with a book and people are shoving and you're trying to say the word and you don't know what you're saying. No. This is the time when Allah Azza wa Jal is accepting the dua. Say the dua. Whatever you have memorized from the ad'iyah of the sunnah, alhamdulillah. What you haven't, say a dua that you make up in your own language and that you understand. You know what you need. Ask of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you can't think of anything in terms of dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. One of the greatest dua that you can learn. What about remembering Allah? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. Recite Quran. This is the time for dhikr. This is the time for asking of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you do the 7 rounds, and as we said, when you complete your 7th round, you don't now raise your hand and indicate towards the black stone, but rather you cover up your shoulder, you go to the region where Maqamu Ibrahim is, you try to pray somewhere in that region towards the Kaaba. Your aim is the Kaaba, your aim is not Maqamu Ibrahim. Okay? You offer 2 rak'ah, and the sunnah of these 2 rak'ah is to recite in the first rak'ah after Al-Fatiha, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and in the second one, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. You finish that, you drink the water of Zamzam, as we mentioned the last time, and you go towards the Kaaba, towards the black stone, do istilam again, or indicate, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and then go towards Al-Safa and Al-Marwa. أبدأ بما بدأ الله به إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله إلى آخر الآية. And the adhkar that we mentioned, and you walk between Al-Safa and Al-Marwa seven rounds. Going to Al-Marwa is 1 round. Coming back to Al-Safa is round 2, and so on. So round 7 will be at Al-Marwa. After that, you go and you have your hair trimmed. And very important, although you will see many people just taking 2 or 3 or 4 hairs, it's not sufficient. You need to trim from all over your head. Okay? And then you're out of ihram and you're in your normal clothing. Tayyib. Now you will wait until the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. During these days, remember that you are there for a purpose. Don't be lazy like many people and they decide, you know what? We'll pray in the hotel in Jama'ah because it's such a rush. Wallahi ya ikhwani. Some of them were a'imma of the masajid and they had taken hajj groups with them. They are the spiritual guides of the people. Wallahi, in our hotel. And they said, no, alhamdulillah, we have a comfortable place in the basement of the hotel. We pray Salatul Jama'ah there, and we will relax for the Hajj. And, you know, we don't want to get caught in the crowd, and so on and so forth. But they went out shopping. Ya Rabbi. Wallahi, ya Ikhwan. Shay'un yubki. It's amazing. Ya Akhi. The Salah in the Masjid, Al-Masjid Al-Haram, is worth 100,000 times a salah in any other masjid. And we're willing to leave it. And then some of them will say, but all of Makkah is a haram. And actually, I know all of this. But this is what you came for. You traveled all this distance. Go early. If you're afraid of the crowd, yeah. If, when you leave your hotel, when you hear the adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Of course, the other 2 million people want to leave as well. Leave 20 minutes before. Leave half an hour before. Find a nice spot in the haram. Try to find a place where you can see the Kaaba. Looking at the Kaaba itself is an act of ibadah. Ya Rabbi, what are you there for? So use these days. They are precious days. Nobody's stopping you from shopping and so on. But ya akhi, don't miss a salah in the haram. Make every effort to go towards the haram and pray there in that masjid. Pray in jama'ah. Remember, the larger the jama'ah, the greater the reward as well. In your life, you will not find a greater jama'ah than when you find in Hajj. It's unlikely. Not that you will never find it, Allahu A'lam, but it's unlikely that you're going to find a jama'ah as big as this. You're not going to pray in a place better than this. This may be the last time that you can do it. So benefit from it. Go. This is part of your routine. The most important thing is, I have to be in the haram. Ya ikhwan, in salat al-fajr, ma ahlaha fil haram. How beautiful it is in the haram. Wake up early. Go to the haram. Go to the masjid. Well in advance for salat al-fajr. And you will see how beautiful it is to pray salat al-fajr there. And after the salah, and I'm giving you practical tips now. If you leave with the other 2 million people, you know, you're going to be pushing and shoving and you're going to get pushed aside. Wait. Akhi, sit. Sabbih. يعني ربك يعني say subhanallah alhamdulillah allahu akbar, say the adhkar, take some time to recite the Quran. Maybe the rush dies down a little bit. It's not going to die down, of course, with 2 million people, but a little bit. Then you can leave and go back to your hotel and rest. You keep some time for recitation of Quran while you're there. Revise some of your hifz, what you have memorized. Make use of this. I'm not saying don't socialize at all. Of course, part of the Hajj is getting to know other people as well. When you socialize, don't let it be all laughing and giggling and whatever else. No. Talk about things, that challenges we face in our countries. Yeah, you'll meet people from other parts of the world. People who will speak your language. You know, people that come from... God, there's people from all over the place. Talk about challenges you face. It's amazing, Ikhi, when you meet with people and you talk, you'll even feel content. Oh, so we're not the only ones. So let's think of some practical solutions. This is all part of the Hajj, part of the benefits you take from Hajj, I should say. Haraf. So spend those days and wait until the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. On the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah, and by the way, the booklet. Tafadhali Habibi. Tafadhali Habibi. Excellent, and I actually had received that question already by email. The question is about Tahiyyatul Masjid for Al Masjid Al Haram, the Grand Mosque in Makkah. Again, reality, you're probably not going to be able to do tawaf every time you go into the masjid.
Yeah, my question is,
so you do Tahiyyatul Masjid.
If I want to do tawaf for
one tawaf is 7 rounds. One tawaf is equivalent to 7 rounds and 2 rak'ah after that. So a tawaf consists of 7 rounds and 2 rak'ah. Okay. So when you go into the masjid, then you don't sit until you pray. In other words, tahiyyatul masjid applies in al-masjid al-haram as well, unless you're doing the tawaf. And think about it, after your 7 rounds, you're praying 2 rak'ah anyways too. Right? So there is tahiyyatul masjid there if you're not doing tawaf. An excellent question, because it's asked very often. Jayid. So you're going to wait until the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. And since you mentioned this, something else comes to mind, and that is women coming to the haram. Women coming to pray in Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Listen, let's be realistic. Women are going all this distance. We are allowing these women folk to go and rub shoulders with people as they're walking through the marketplace and bargain with the shopkeepers and so on and so forth. Billahi alaykum. Then we're going to come to them and say, no, for salah, go to the hotel and sit inside. We're going to prevent them from going to the masjid. La, ya ikhwan. Be reasonable. They want to go. Let them go to the masjid. Even encourage them. It's better than them shopping outside. Right? Let them go to the masjid and let them pray. But, especially for our women folk, I want to recommend for them especially, go well in advance before the adhan. Otherwise, you will find yourself standing next to a man. This is not permissible. And that's why I say for the men also, try to go early enough so you can go forward where there's only men. Because the latecomers, they end up getting mixed up. Okay? The fact that it happens there doesn't make it right, by the way. It's not allowed, it's not allowed. Lots of things happen in Hajj. It doesn't mean they're right. Circumstances are such that they take place. That's not the default. It's not something which is accepted by the Sharia. The fault is ours, not the fault of the Sharia. The Sharia tells us how to deal with these things. They have sections for the women, but, you know, people are people. And, you know, a lot of us go, and in our heads we have, well, rules are meant to be broken. So we break every rule. Hasbi Allahu ni'mal wakeel. But be careful, especially the women folk. If you find you're going and, you know, there's no place for you except to stand next to a man, walk away. Go out. Go back where you will only find women and pray there. Don't pray next to a man. Don't pray standing shoulder to shoulder with a man. And the way to avoid it is by going early. And men, you don't want to complain, you don't want to complain and end up next to a woman, then you also go early. If everybody does that, then alhamdulillah, we can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Jayyid. On the 8th of Dhul Hijjah now, we are going to prepare ourselves to go towards Mina. So in the late part of the morning, well anyway, we won't have much of a choice. Whenever the buses come, they come. But the way that we prepare ourselves, again, remember you're going to go into Ihram. So if there's any hair that you need to remove from the armpits and the privates and clipping your nails, make sure you do all of that. And then you prepare yourself to get into Ihram. And the way you get into Ihram, for the men, of course, we wear the two sheets. For the women, as we mentioned the last time, their regular clothing. And this is done from your hotel room. It is not sunnah to go to the masjid. It is not better to go to the masjid. And this is why every time I think about this, I'm amazed at the taqwa and the ilm of Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala was asked by a man. He said to him, "Ya Imam, I want to begin my ihram from the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Imagine. In other words, he wants to pray whatever fariḍa, and then he's going to wear the clothing of ihram, and he's going to make his intention for umrah from the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then proceed. And Imam Malik rahimahullah said, no. It's better for you from the miqat. As a matter of fact, I fear fitna for you. If you do it, he says, how could that be? How could that be? And Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he recited to him, ايش الآية؟ ومن يشاق حقة الفتنة؟ لا اللي فيها الفتنة. Anyways, an ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So he reminded him of the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla that whoever opposes the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they should be careful that some fitna would befall them. Some trouble will come their way, or a severe punishment. Subhanallah. So no, it is not better. Don't get excited. Oh, if I go to the haram, I'm by the Kaaba. No, ya akhi, from your hotel room is the best. Because the ihram is to be taken from your home, if you're living in Makkah. From the place where you are, you know, residing. So your hotel room is where you're residing. This is where you take your ihram from. Labbaik Allahumma hajja. This is the way that you will begin. And say the talbiyah. Ya ikhwan, make sure you feel it. I am now in the midst of hajj. I'm in the midst of my act of ibadah. Remember how we said, like going into takbirat al-ihram, you are in your ihram. Imagine like in your salah. You don't have time for nonsense. This is serious business. People want to joke with you, say, Jazakallah khairan ya akhi, but this is not what I came all this way for. Tell them straight as a reminder. Say it politely. Say it kindly. Say it gently. To remind them. This is your da'wah. Remember, this is your da'wah. This is the way you're going to benefit other people. And the best, the people that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves most are the ones who are most beneficial to others. So say it to them in a nice way to remind yourself and to remind them. Engage in dhikr, engage in the talbiyah. You are in hajj, that's it. And now you will proceed towards Mina. Hopefully you will get there before Salat al-Dhuhr. So you can offer Salat al-Dhuhr there, and you'll pray Salat al-Asr, and you'll pray Salat al-Maghrib, and you'll pray Salat al-Isha as well. And Salat al-Fajr the next morning. So we'll pray five salawat in Mina, hopefully. And masjid, the masjid that is there is known as Masjid Khayf. Tayyib? Depending on where we are. It may be too far for you to go. No, the issue, the brother is asking now about Masjid al-Tan'im. Al-Tan'im is, or Masjid Aisha they call it. No, you don't go there. To do Umrah, to do another Umrah, don't do it. This is not from the Sunnah. Don't keep going back. It is better for you to go and do the Tawaf. Okay? Yeah, you're not doing Umrah now, you're doing Hajj, akhi. We finished Umrah. We finished. Don't do it. And I'll tell you why. Don't do Umrah several times while you are there. Number one, it's not from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِ. We just mentioned the ayah. Secondly, you will cause a lot of inconvenience for the people. Thirdly, there is more ajr for you to go and do the tawaf as much as you can. Okay? Simple, straightforward. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah, you proceed towards. We said the masjid there, if it's possible for you to pray there, go and do so. If it's not, khalas, we pray in jama'ah though. Make sure that you're praying in jama'ah, even in your tent. Praying every salah at its time, there's no need for you to combine. You're sitting there, there's no need to combine. You shorten, and the reason is for the nusuk, for the hajj. So we shorten dhuhr and we shorten asr, but we don't combine them, we pray each one at its appointed time. Okay? If you can go to the masjid, that's fine. And Imam Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah mentions in his book on the Hajj that 70 prophets prayed in that masjid. 70 prophets prayed in Masjid Khayf in Mina. So it's a good idea if we can make it there. But again, it depends how far we are. It may be very far. In which case, it's understandable and we'll pray wherever we are. Tayyib. So the next morning now, again, you're not going to have much choice in the matter. The buses will come when they come. You will be preparing yourself. That's the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So you prayed on this day again, mixing with the people, benefiting the people, taking the time to recite Quran, Adhkar, Talbiyah. This is what you're doing. Don't forget also on all these days, from the 1st of Dhul Hijjah as well, At-Takbir. It applies. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are for not only the people that are not performing Hajj, it's for everyone. People who are in Hajj and who are not in Hajj. The things that are prescribed, the dhikr, the tahleel, the takbir, the tahmeed, all of this is prescribed for us. So you have lots to do. Araftum? The 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, Al Hajju Arafah. This is the most important day of your life. This is the most critical point of your Hajj. Alright? You will proceed towards Arafah, the plains of Arafah. You'll be taken to, you know, to the area where you'll be staying. They have tents for you. Alhamdulillah. You go there and you wait for Salat al-Dhuhr. Again, probably will be far from the masjid, so you won't be able to join them and listen to the khutbah. If possible though, alhamdulillah, you will do so. Otherwise, we will pray in jama'ah in the tent. Pray Salat al-Dhuhr. And after Salat al-Dhuhr, you don't know anybody unless they need your help. Otherwise, you don't know anybody. This is what you came for. This is the moment. This is the climax. This is it. This is the time that Allah Azza wa Jal is listening to you. And Allah Azza wa Jal descends and He's boasting before His angels about you. Make it count. This is the time. And if you stand as much as you can, tire yourself out in dua. Tire yourself out in remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. Ad-du'a, ad-du'a. If you wish to go towards you know, the place that people commonly refer to as Jabal Rahma, that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't go out of your way to, you know, force yourself there and rush through crowd and whatever. But, yeah, alhamdulillah, the last time I went, we were able to walk towards it, alhamdulillah, easily, calmly, that's fine. But you don't say, I have to make it a point to go there. If you can, alhamdulillah. Because that's the region where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood. But believe me, it's not from the sunnah to try and climb the mountain, as many people do know. You see people, you know, they're rushing to get up and they think that it's better for them to be on top. No, it's better for you to be down below. That's where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was. Okay? So he said, the idea is dua. Ya ikhwani, al-amru bil-ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar. Enjoining good, forbidding evil. You will see people standing and smoking. Cigarette between the fingers, hands raised, Ya Allah. And you're expecting that your dua is going to be accepted. Advise them. Tell them, Ya akhi, ittaqillah. Haram. Help him. Tell the guy he shouldn't be killing himself. Wasting his money away. Arafat? You'll see people doing things. You'll see people who, men who have their right shoulders exposed. Remind them. That's not the sunnah, Ya akhi. Cover your shoulder up. You'll see them doing other things that are maybe inappropriate. Advise them. You'll see elderly people that maybe, you know, they look like they need a drink and people are handing out drinks for free, for example. You know, and I hate to say this. It hurts me to say this. But the etiquette and the manners that you will see in Hajj will astonish you. It is truly disgusting to see the state of the Ummah. Wallahi, akhi, for a bottle of water, for a carton of yogurt, drinking yogurt, people will push and shove and kick each other. Literally climb on one another. But we know better. Husn al-Khuluq. Let us practice good manners. Others are doing things, it doesn't mean, you know, when in Rome, do as Romans do. No, we should be careful that we don't get into that. You know how it is in crowds, sometimes you sort of get caught up in it, just keep reminding yourself, no, this is not becoming. How cheap am I? Then I paid $7,000 or $7,500 to come for Hajj. For one riyal, you know, bottle of water, you know, for 35 cents, I'm going to throw my Hajj away. I'm going to push another Muslim and who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, come on. Go pay the money. Pay double the money to buy the bottle of water and drink it. And because of this, you'll see some of the elderly people they left out. And these are people who spend their entire life savings to get here. And they only wish they could get that water, but they're too weak. Go and buy them a bottle of water if you need to. If you can't get one for free, go buy a bottle of water and give it to them, ya akhi. Ihtasib al ajra inda Allah azza wa jal. There's so much you can do, even on the day of Arafah. And I recommend, go ahead, walk around a little bit. Because you will see so much, and you will learn so much, even on the day of Arafah. And while you're walking, of course, you're saying the talbiyah, you're making dhikr, you're remembering Allah azza wa jal, you're calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And of course you pray Salat al-Asr there as well, and you continue in this state until the time of Maghrib. Do not leave before Maghrib. Even if they tell you, our buses are leaving, say go ahead. You'll find your way. You don't leave before Maghrib. And actually they don't let people leave by bus, because they have on the boundary of Arafah, alhamdulillah, there are people that are standing there and preventing the vehicles from passing by. Okay, nobody's allowed out. Alhamdulillah, after Maghrib, this is when they're allowed out. The time of Maghrib comes, do not pray Maghrib in Arafah. Don't pray at that time. Delay your Maghrib and pray it later, once you get to Muzdalifah. The only time you pray it before reaching Muzdalifah is if you're afraid it's going to be, like, that's it, we're not going to make it, we're en route. The bus is stuck, the driver lost the way, it happens by the way. And by the time we get to Muzdalifah, it's going to be Fajr. I mean, in this case, you pray Maghrib and Isha, wherever. It's happened, by the way. Then I'd have to get off a bus and walk. So you pray Maghrib and Isha then en route. But otherwise, you pray Maghrib and Isha when you get to Muzdalifah, even if it's late, even if it's midnight, even if it's 1 or 2 in the morning. That's okay. As long as it's before Fajr. Okay? It's a matter of a couple kilometers, but when there's too many people trying to get there, it seems like a lot further than that. Yeah, we can do all of that. But you have groups. These things you can discuss when you get there, inshallah ta'ala. So, but now you're at Arafah. From Arafah to Muzdalifah. So you make your way. And you're going to go by bus, and they will leave you in a place. There, you pray your Maghrib, you pray Isha. Trust me, you're going to be tired. you are going to be tired. Take a sleeping bag with you. Okay, it can get very cold. I was freezing the last time. Well, alhamdulillah, I wasn't freezing because I had my sleeping bag and I took my own advice. But I saw people that were, you know, you can hear the teeth chatter. Okay, that's how cold it can get. Because, you know, you're weak. You know how the weaker you are, the colder you're going to feel. And then for us guys, we haven't even got underpants on or undershirts on. You just got those two sheets on you. Okay, and you're tired and the wind is blowing. It's just an open field. And may I also suggest that if you can get those camping mats, okay, because there's lots of pebbles underneath. And even if you just in your sleeping bag, usually you feel the pebbles underneath you. I usually take, you know, either those camping mats or the yoga mat or whatever they call it and put that underneath and then my sleeping bag and I sleep on that. Take it with you. Take it with you. Let me give you a piece of advice. Just take it with you. Okay? Yeah, those are easy to take. I've already got mine, alhamdulillah. They have them all over the place, Walmart and Canadian Tire and in the camping section. So, rest. You will need the rest. After you pray Maghrib and Isha, sleep. Alright? The next morning, of course, you make sure you wake up for Salat al-Fajr. And don't do as some people, they get so excited they pray before the time of Fajr. In that case, your Fajr didn't count. You have to wait till the time of Fajr. So know the time of the Salah. So you pray at its time. Okay? Because people are going to be praying all over the place and different, you know, there's going to be like 101 jama'ah there. So, because it's just the way that things are. It's just the way things are. Okay? Make sure you know when the time of Salah is so you don't pray before the time. No one is allowed to leave Muzdalifah. Well, they'd let you go if you're walking, but I'm talking about, according to the Sharia, you are not to leave Muzdalifah before the next morning, except for those who need to. The weak, the elderly, the sickly, women who are going to have difficulty. In that case, they may leave, and of course, whoever is taking them. So if you happen to be in charge of a group of elderly people, or an elderly person, or you know your wife who's you know weak and whatever, and you need to take them early, it's fine. Of course, you're allowed to go with. But others, it's wajib, it's necessary that you remain in Muzdalifah. Pray Salat al-Fajr, do the Azkar, call upon Allah Azza wa Jal, dua and so on, until it starts getting bright, but before the sun rises. That's the time that you proceed towards Mina. And here is where, you know, a lot of problems happen. Our bus got hijacked. Because there's another group that wanted the bus, so they paid a bribe to the driver, and we lost our bus to them. It happens, Ikhwan, I'm telling you the truth. This is what happens. And so we ended up walking. So, like I said, depending on the group you're with, you may want to agree with a number of people that, you know what, let's start walking. We'll go towards Mina and do things. Because basically, now from Muzdalifah, till the end of the day of Eid, because now remember that you're on, it's the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah now, it's the day of Eid. You won't even feel it's Eid, believe me. Because you're so busy doing things. Yawmul Hajj al-Akbar, there's so many things that you have to do now. Okay? So, it's okay. You may want to agree that a group of you go walking towards Mina, because there's so much to do. You're going to go to Mina now, and of course after you leave your stuff at the at your tent, you have to go and pelt. Okay? You're not going to pelt the shaitan. Please. That pillar that is there is not the shaitan. Okay, I'll answer your question, sister. Just hold your horses. So, a lot of people, and the reason I say that is, you know, the shaitan unfortunately gets to these people. The connection for a bit. The pebbles. You don't have to collect the pebbles in Muzdalifah. Okay? You don't have to collect them there. You can if you want to. You collect, say, 7, or on the road towards Mina, or in Mina itself. Okay? unlike what many people think. So as far as picking the pebbles that you will use to pelt the pillar, you do not have to take them from Muzdalifah as some people think. You can take them from Muzdalifah as you are proceeding from Muzdalifah on your way to Mina, or even from Mina. From anywhere you may take the pebbles. As for washing the pebbles, there is no, you know, there's no asal, there's no origins to that. I don't know where that came from. Okay? And these are the same people that think they're pelting shaitan. So you want to pelt shaitan with clean pebbles? I don't know what that means. So there's no need to wash them or anything of that nature. You will pick 7 pebbles, either from Muzdalifah or on the way or in Mina. And you will proceed to that large pillar, Al-Aqaba, Al-Kubra. This is the only one that you will pelt on this day. This is the only one that you will pelt on this day. Now, this is where things can get really messy. And this is what we hear all about, people dying and so on. Proceed towards this pillar. That pillar symbolizes the area where you're supposed to be pelting. It is not the shaitan. And I want to stress this, because some people, wallahi, shaitan actually gets into them at that place. This is where shaitan enters them. Because they start cursing. They think this is shaitan. They start cursing, like using really bad language. Your mother's, you know. And the guy pulls off his sandals and chucks them. Yeah, you're supposed to have pebbles. What are you doing throwing your sandals? If you look at the well around that pillar, Saddiguni, you'll find umbrellas. Brothers have been for Hajj. Did you see the umbrellas? People literally throw umbrellas. They have missiles passing your head. What are you doing? Pebbles the size of chickpeas. Not boulders. Okay. Pebbles is enough. 7 of them. Fine. Jama'atna shwaya. Inshallah, we hope that we don't see this anymore. But people throw all kinds of things. Okay. There's supposed to be different, you know, the organization is supposed to be much better and different now and so on. Inshallah ta'ala, we hope so. But anyways, be prepared for anything. Yeah. So when you go, you may see that it is like just too dangerous to go in. I don't know how it is now, but previously, I mean, I'm thinking from experience now. Even the way it is now, mashallah, tabarakallah, we have ways of making everything go wrong. Right? That's us. And is well organized something may be, but we still have a way of messing things up. But if you see that it's dangerous, stay back. If you have to wait an hour, if you have to wait 3 hours, I don't care. Wait. Don't put yourself in harm's way and don't put other people in harm's way. Wait. Look for an opening. The way we used to do it, we used to wait. We see an opening because, you know, there's always, even in the busiest of times, you see there's bound to be an opening. Go. And don't think, you know, I'm a good shot. So from way back, you're going to start, most likely, instead of, you know, hitting the pillar, and you're not aiming for the pillar, by the way. You're aiming for the area around the pillar. As long as it falls in that well, it's okay. But you should be able to see it going that way, and, you know, more or less being certain that it's fallen at least in the well, as opposed to hitting the backs of people's heads. I mean, I got hit many a time, right? And make sure you're not wearing a nice watch, because you're going to probably get the glass broken. Okay? As you're walking, it may be very, very rushed. Do not bend down to pick up your sandals if you lost them. Just keep walking. Okay? You sell lots of cheap sandals on the road. But don't bend down to pick them up, because you may be trampled. You just don't know what can happen. You can lose balance. And this happens to many people. So be careful. Women folk, guard them with your lives. Take care of them. There's lots of pushing and shoving. Okay? If you're there with your sister or your wife or whatever, you know, hold her in such a way that you put your arms around her. You go and pelt first, come back and take her. This is the way I've done it. I mean, I remember the one Hajj, I was almost dead at the end of it. I had my wife with me. I had my aunt with me. I had my dad's aunt with me. I had 5 women that I had to take, plus my dad. So I pelt first, and then I come back and I took each one of them. Okay? No. I'll talk to you about that in a second. Okay? And no slingshots, okay? Just with your hand. Every time, Bismillah. With every, and you can't take and say, oh, okay, I'm gonna do it, you know, seven in one. Okay? Take seven pebbles and chuck them all at once. That would count only as one. You have to do seven, one after the other. Bismillah, and you throw. Understood? If you can get closer, alhamdulillah. It's easier, believe me, it's easier that way. And then you find your way out. Alright? Now, having somebody else do it on your behalf is only allowed if you're incapable. If you are physically not capable of doing so. Otherwise, you're not allowed. Many people take it, oh, you know, I'll do it on behalf of my wife. Actually, she's strong. She's healthy. She can manage. If she cannot manage in the day, take her at night. You can take her late at night. For the weak, the elderly, the women, if they need to, they can go even late at night. It's fine. Don't do it on their behalf unless they're really not capable. Physically, they cannot go. Their health is not with them. Okay? And so they cannot do it. Clear? Alright. So you pelt, and that's the end of that. Now, as far as slaughtering goes, I mean, we are not going to be slaughtering on our own. I've done it before. It's difficult. You know, you have to go and find a goat or a sheep and buy it and find a knife to slaughter. And I bought a goat and I didn't have a knife. I never thought of that. You know, and I had to find somebody with a knife and it was a mess. But I mean, it's not going to work. But alhamdulillah, depending on what group you're with, either they're going to have bought coupons with a rajihi where they do it for you, or the brother that most of us are probably going to be with, alhamdulillah, he has someone who will have purchased the animals and will do it on our behalf. And don't tell him that I told you, he makes an effort every year to bring some of the meat and have us eat from it as well. And inshallah ta'ala, he said he promised me he would try again. I mean, there's no guarantee, but he would try it. The important thing is that then the slaughtering is done, okay, and then the men can shave their heads. This is better for you, to shave your head. If not, then you can trim. Then you can trim. But you came all that way for what, ya akhi? What, for what? Don't you want the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal? Don't you want the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal? Don't you want to do as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did? Okay, so have your head shaved. If you're, you know, for some reason you're not going to do it, then at least trim, and once again from all over. Understood? Now, for the women, of course, there's no shaving of your head. You just trim about 1 inch or so from your hair, from the bottom. You do that, and that's it. All right. The sequence, I'm mentioning the sequence to you, but if for some reason the sequence is not quite the same, it's all fine. If'al wa la haraj, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said. After we complete this, we go towards Makkah. Now, many people will delay this tawaf. Tawaf al-ifada or tawaf al-ziyara, as many people call it. This is also one of the pillars of the Hajj. You have to do it. Many people will leave it until 2 or 3 days later, although it is permissible. Once again, ikhwan, make the effort to implement the sunnah to the best of your ability. After all, what did we go for? We went for comfort? La wallahi, akhi, we're not there for comfort. And remember what the Prophet alayhi salam said to Aisha radiallahu anha. Inna thawabaki ala qadri nasabiki. That your rewards will be in proportion to the effort and the difficulty or level of difficulty, according to how much you exert yourself. So the more difficulty you face, say alhamdulillah, this is more opportunity for me to get ajr. Not that you go out of your way to find difficulty, but if you face those difficulties, say alhamdulillah, it means Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward you more as long as you're patient, etc. Right? So go to Makkah. Alright, and you're on your own. Now you're on your own. Don't expect your group leader to pay for your taxi fare. No, yaqi, he's going to take you when he wants to take you. Let me tell you ahead of time. Nobody's going to bother with you at this time. You're on your own, baby. You take care of yourself. So a group of people, I always suggest, let's go in groups. A group of people now, you make your way towards Makkah. You probably have to walk a fair bit until you get to Al-Aziziyah and you hop on a bus or rent a taxi or whatever, and it will cost you some money. It's okay. And you go to Makkah and you do the tawaf. Na'am. We're coming there. We're still on the 10th. We're still on the day of Eid. You don't do it 3 times. On the first day, on the day of Eid, you pelt only the large pillar. That's it. There are not 3 pillars that you pelt on the first day. The first day is only the one the one pillar, the day of Eid. Okay? So you pelt and you, as we said, you do all of these things. Now you're out of ihram to an extent. Everything is okay for you but intimacy. In other words, if you're with your wife, you can't have relations with her. Okay? So everything but that is allowed. You can change into your normal clothing, you know, wear perfume, etc., etc., whatever, it's all fine. Okay, now, you go to Mecca, you do the tawaf, in other words, the 7 rounds, and this is where it's very likely that you'll be on the second or the third floor, and the tawaf may take you 3 hours. Yes. Yes. You, in your normal clothing, you're already out of, once you shave the head, khalas, that's it. Okay? So, you now do the tawaf, however long it takes, isfiru ya khani. Alhamdulillah. Adhan is called, stop, pray the salah, and continue. Okay? Then you go to do a sa'i between as-safa and al-marwa. Alright? So you're all done. Alhamdulillah. You're good to go. Now you go back to Mina. Of course you're going to eat and whatever else. And you go back to Mina because you have to spend the night there. You have to spend the night there. This was the 10th. So that night, which is really the night of the 11th now, you must spend it in Mina. Awaken the next morning. We spoke about a routine. Basically, remembering to, you know, say the talbiyah, the takbirat, Quran, dhikr, you know, beneficial talk. No nonsense. Walking around, meeting people, trying to help, whatever. This is how you spend the rest of the 3 days, okay? Basically. But after Salat al Dhuhr, now I want to draw your attention to something. There are many fatawi, lots of fatwas out there now that you can pelt before Dhuhr and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, yani this is ijtihad, this is, you know, some very notable scholars have put these opinions forward. وَلَكِنْ فِي النَّفْسِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ And the reality is that the ahadith and so on are pretty firm on waiting until after Zawal, after, once the time of Dhuhr has come in. Okay? So let's wait until after Dhuhr has come in, even if it means you wait till Asr, until a bit later. But make your way then. Now you need to take 21 pebbles with you. Not 7, 21. Pick them up from anywhere in Mina. Some think you have to pick all of them up in Muzdalifah before you came to Mina. No, you pick them up in Mina anywhere. Okay? 21 pebbles. Then you proceed towards Al-Jamarat, these pillars. And you start with the smallest. People make a mistake. Very often they'll start with the big and then they go to the middle and then they go to the small one. No, you start small, medium, large. There's no extra large. There's no super size either. Okay? Small, medium, large. You go to the small one, you pelt. Okay? Bismillah, 1. You keep doing until you finish 7. Then, from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that you step aside. Don't get in the way of people. Don't get in the midst of the crowd where people are trying to walk. No. Go aside somewhere where, you know, you're not disturbing anyone. You're not in anybody's way. Face the Qibla, raise your hand and make dua. The longer the better. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. At the small pillar. Go to the middle pillar, you do the same thing. Go to the large pillar, you pelt and you leave. After pelting the large one, then there is no dua. It's not prescribed for you to stand aside and make dua. Then you go. And you spend the rest of your day as we had mentioned. Okay? So this is now the 11th. On the 12th, it's the same routine. Alright? Now there are many people who will now be leaving Mina on the 12th. It is permissible. Although it is better to stay another day, it is permissible to leave. Most of us are going with a group who will stay till the 13th. Okay, for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they know it's better, or maybe because it saves them a night at the hotel and they don't have to pay for the hotel, right? But whatever it is, we're staying to the 13th. Okay? But if you want to leave early, you may have other arrangements or whatever, and you want to go, you don't want to stay to the 13th, it's fine. It is permissible for you to leave. But if you're going to do so, you have to leave before Maghrib. If you stay until Maghrib, then you're obliged to remain until the 13th. Then you are obliged to stay until the 13th. On the 13th day, same routine, after Zawal you pelt, now you may leave. And you go back to Mecca. For the majority of us, the way it's going to be is, We go back to Mecca, it's also busy. You cannot leave Mecca now until you do something known as Tawaf al-Wada', the farewell Tawaf. There's no Sa'i, there's no Safa and Marwa after it. You don't have to do that. Now you're in your normal clothing and everything else. And let me just go back. This Tawaf that we did on the day of Eid, there's no need for you to expose your right shoulder, because you're out of Ihram with the head shaven and everything, so you don't need to expose your right shoulder and run, and you just, okay, just do your Tawaf, because you could do it in your normal clothing to begin with. Anyway, this final Tawaf is a must, except for a woman. She may have, you know, done all the things, the rites of Hajj, and now she finds herself that she's menstruating. Then she doesn't need to worry about it. There's no Tawaf al-Wada' for her. She may leave. Okay, but for us, what's going to happen is that we will have to do this Tawaf, with the exception of women in that situation. We do this Tawaf 7 rounds, pray the 2 rak'ah, and then we will be heading to Al-Madinah. Okay, I want that we understand something. You are not in Hajj alone. You are with a group. You have to make certain that you are considerate. There are people, it happened when I went, I heard from the brothers even last year, I mean, I know many people who take groups and so on. Ya Ikhwan, there are some who are adamant that they have to do something and they want to take their time and so on, and the bus is waiting. The rest of the Hujjaj, they did their duty, they came early because they know that they have deadlines to meet, they're on a schedule. But this one is taking his time. The 50 people are waiting in the bus for one person or two people. For inconveniencing all those Muslims, imagine the amount of, you know, sin that you took on your shoulders. So be considerate. When we're given times, let's try our best to stick to those times. I'm not going to cut corners. No, you do what you have to do. But the extras, what you can't do, akhi khalas, don't worry about it. Just do what you have to do and then keep moving. Alright? And then we will go to Al-Madinah. Having said this, visiting Al-Madinah is not a part of the Hajj. And is not a sunnah to do either. It is not even a recommended act to do as part of the Hajj. Understand what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with the Hajj. If a person did the Hajj and then left, Alhamdulillah, the Hajj is fine. Going to Al-Madinah is an optional thing. We don't go because it's a part of the Hajj. We go because of our love for that place, and we know that the salah in that masjid, just like the salah in Al-Masjid Al-Haram, in the Grand Mosque in Mecca, is worth 100,000 salah elsewhere. The salah in the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is worth 1,000 salah in other masajid. This is why we go. For our love for that place and for the ajr we want from that masjid. It has nothing to do with Hajj. Visiting Al-Madinah has nothing to do with Hajj. Understand that. So don't blame people and ask them, why aren't you going? See, some people only have a certain number of days. They come for Hajj and they leave. It has nothing to do with Hajj. It doesn't make the Hajj more complete. It doesn't do anything for the Hajj per se. But Alhamdulillah, we are there. We have the opportunity. We will go. Do not go with the intention, I'm going to visit the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. No. لا تشدوا الرحال. The Prophet alayhi salam said, you don't, you know, go out of your way to visit any masajid except these three masajid. He didn't say my grave. Understood? So when we go to Al-Madinah, we're going with the intention of visiting the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salam. But while we are there, we know that his grave is there, so we will make an effort to go and greet him, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, directly standing right there at his grave, and then his companion Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma as well. Is that clear? But the intent is to go to that masjid. And then alhamdulillah, this comes along. It so happens that now the grave of the Prophet alayhi salam is encompassed in the masjid. There's no dalil, there's no evidence in it that it's okay to build masajid around graves, no. What they've done is wrong, but that's fine. It's there, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not in my hands, it's not in your hands. Okay? But you go and you say that your salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his two companions, and that's it. There's no such thing as you have to go and say it after every salah. People think this? No. There's no such thing. You go, alhamdulillah. If you can go more than once, alhamdulillah. But you don't have to go after every salah, as some of the people think. You don't have to pray 40 salah in the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam consecutively. There are some groups that go, they make sure that they spend at least the 8 days there, because they feel that it is the sunnah to pray 40 salah, and that the hadith is not authentic. Yes, people go out of their way and they insist and they will look only to spend those days there. If you are able to, alhamdulillah. But anyways, while you are in Medina, again, this is the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you want the ajr, 1,000. One salah equal to 1,000. So make sure you pray every salah in the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. 1,000. The masjid al-haram is 100,000. The masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is 1,000. Okay, one salah is equivalent to 1,000 in rewards. بين منزلي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that between his home, where his home was, and his minbar, the pulpit from where he delivered the sermons, the khutbah, is a garden from the gardens of paradise. If you are able to enter that garden and offer 2 rak'ah, alhamdulillah. Okay, but don't do foolish things to get in there. If you're able to, and you will be able to, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, just choose the right times, then alhamdulillah, you go and pray. But do not inconvenience others, and remember, there are 2 million other people there as well, so don't sit and say, alhamdulillah, I'm so comfortable in this garden, and just sit there the rest of the day. Akhi, pray and move on. Be considerate. Let others have an opportunity as well. Okay, you're leaving it, not because you want to leave it, because you want to be considerate. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You're not going to be a complete believer until you love for your fellow Muslims what you love for yourself. And you spend your days there also in ibadah, in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and so on and so forth, and alhamdulillah, that's it. Now, after Hajj, you will be very tired, you may get very sick. Don't complain. You didn't go to Hawaii for a vacation. You went to Mecca to perform the Hajj. Ya akhi, you didn't have to walk 6 months to get there, as they used to in the old days, ya ikhwan. You didn't have to go through those. And by the way, what are you complaining about? This is what you came for. You came to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal tested you. For you to complain, you're washing so many of your rewards away. And then, when we complain in that way, it's like we did Allah a favor. Oh, I did this for Allah. Like you did Him a big favor. Allah didn't need you. You need Allah. So remember that there's no use to complain, ya akhi. You go through those hardships, that's part of Hajj. And the more you show patience and you observe patience and self-restraint, the greater your rewards will be, bi-idhnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when people start complaining, stop them. Advise them. Okay? As I said, if you have problems with your travel agent, and he's a human being, you deal with him separately, in private, not in public, and you tell him what your beef is, and you sort it out with him. Okay, those are separate issues. I'm talking now about, you know, how you got tired in Hajj. He doesn't control the buses. He's not the one. So don't blame him for things that go wrong there. There was a traffic jam. What is he supposed to do? He's there in Hajj just like you. All right. So we have to be very, very tolerant. We have to be very realistic about things. Okay. In any case, this is the Hajj in a nutshell. We know these things that are sunnah. Let's make sure that we know these rules so we don't break them, so that we don't have to pay any penalties. Okay, we need a lot more time to talk about what penalty for this and that. Inshallah ta'ala, we won't have to worry about that. But in the event something goes wrong, you can always find out. We have lots of resources where we can find out what to do in the event something goes wrong. Okay, if something goes wrong, then we'll deal with it at that time, whether you have to give compensation or whatever else. I'm going to leave it at that. As I said, we took a quick walk through the Hajj. You know, basically, it starts on the 8th. And on the 8th, there's not much that you do. The 9th, this is the biggest day of all, in terms of Arafah. Okay, you leave only after Maghrib. You spend the night in Muzdalifah. The next morning, you go towards Mina. You pelt the big pillar. You shave you offer the sacrifice and shave the head. You go to Mecca, do the tawaf. And a sa'i, for us, we will have to do the sa'i, because we're doing just the Hajj now. We're doing tamattu', so we'll have to do the sa'i. And then we come back and we spend the night in Mina. Spend the next day there, and the next day there, and the following day is after pelting the three pillars, then we'll make our way back to Mecca, where we do the final tawaf, and then head off towards Al-Madinah. Now, if there are any questions, then we can deal with them. Let me answer theirs before they shock me with something. Women who do not have a mahram, can they perform Hajj or not? Whether it be a new Muslimah, somebody who has come newly to Islam and she's not married to, and she doesn't have any Muslim male relatives, or it be someone who, you know, who doesn't, a woman who is not married, who doesn't have children, and who doesn't have any relatives either. Her parents died, or you know, her father died, or uncles. She doesn't have anybody here. She's alone, and she wants to go for Hajj. Insha'Allah ta'ala, that intention will count for you. As for going for Hajj, it is not prescribed for you. لا يحل. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, as in Sahihay al-Bukhari wa Muslim, لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا ومعها ذو حرمة. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, it is not lawful for a woman who believes in Allah and the last day to travel, okay, a distance covered in one day, and we talked about the details of that before, okay, and going to Hajj is way beyond that distance. It is not permissible for her to travel that distance without a mahram, that is a close relative whom she cannot marry, who can act as her guardian. I know the emotions run high and they want to go. If you don't have a mahram, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't expect the Hajj from you. And if your niyyah, if your intention is so sincere, Allah knows it, of course. And inshaAllah ta'ala, He will reward you based upon that intention of yours. Don't allow emotions to rule. I know that the emotions run high, and I know that you must desire to go. And I beg of Allah Azza wa Jal that He finds a way for you. You never know. You may find a way. And if you don't, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. It was not meant for you, it was not meant for you. Many women go and they regret. Let's say that a woman does go. Is her Hajj acceptable or not? The Hajj is not affected per se. The sin she has committed is traveling without a mahram. That does not nullify her Hajj. Some will be quick to say, well, you know, her Hajj doesn't even count. No, Yaqwan, I mean, that's, you know, let's be reasonable, and let's act according to the text. Yes, it is wrong for her to do it. Her traveling without a mahram is wrong. Okay, however, if she performs her Hajj correctly, then inshallah ta'ala, the Hajj is acceptable. And it's not as though, you know, somebody will say, well, you know, now when you do have a mahram, you have to go again because your first Hajj didn't count. No, no, we can't go to that extent. What we know is that her taking that journey is not permissible, but the Hajj itself, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, if she meets all the requirements, then the Hajj is going to be valid. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Na'am, Ahmed, inda shay? It can be at any time, but it's preferred that we go in the late morning before Dhuhr, so we can catch Dhuhr there. If you don't, I mean, circumstances may be that you will not be able to get there. That's not a big deal. Going from Makkah to Mina on the 8th day, if you happen to go later because of the circumstances, alhamdulillah, there's no issue there. No, you say no, because you already did your Umrah, so in your case, it's labbaik Allahumma hajja, alright, meaning that now you did Umrah and you're initiating this Hajj, so it has to be tamattu', okay? The only time that you specify, you see, maybe that you're doing, well, because when you came in, you came in with the intention of Umrah, so for you automatically it's tamattu', Umrah and then Hajj. For others, then they may say labbaik Allahumma hajja from the time that they enter. That means they're not going to leave ihram. So if you're going now with the intention of doing only Hajj and no Umrah, then you will be a mufrid. You'll be doing the Hajj known as ifrad. In that case, you will enter Mecca with that ihram, and your niyyah will be labbaik Allahumma hajja. That's it. Labbaik Allahumma hajja. You do the tawaf, and if you wish, you will do the sa'i as well. And then you will stay in your ihram. So those 7 or 8 days, you spend them all in ihram. So you got to be really careful. It's not an easy thing to stay in ihram. But if you want to, that's fine. People do it. I know people who do it for a couple of months. And technically you can. It's not an easy thing. Okay, so you stay in ihram. And then the day of the 8th, you go to, and you do everything outside the Hujjaj, alright, until the end. And there's no sacrifice for you. There's no hadi. For the mutamattir, the one who did Umrah and now we're doing Hajj, we have to offer a sacrifice. For the one who's doing only Hajj, there's no sacrifice for them. Then there are those who will do Al-Qiran, which means they come with the intention of Umrah and Hajj in one ihram. So they will come and they will make the intention for Umrah as well as Hajj all in one ihram. So then they'll proceed towards Makkah, they'll do the entire Umrah with the exception of cutting the hair. They'll stay in ihram until the 8th day, and they'll do all the rites of Hajj like us until the end. Okay? And they have to also offer a sacrifice. So for those of us who did the Umrah, there's no other intention to make except that you're doing Hajj. Because automatically, by default, when you did the Umrah and you came out of your ihram, then you're doing at-tamattu'. Okay? You may wear watches, you may wear a belt, okay? And this brings me to the point of the ihram. Some people, subhanAllah, ikhwan, they look at certain hadith and they take them literally. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that for the men, they have to wear these two sheets unstitched. Wallahi, some of them would take the labels that are stitched onto the ihram towels, they'll take the labels off. They said the Prophet said to wear something unstitched. This is not what he meant. He didn't mean that there shouldn't be any stitching on it. Or they look for belts that are made with rivets as opposed to stitched. Or that are glued together as opposed... This is not what the Prophet ﷺ meant. What he meant is that you do not wear something which is sewn, okay, to the shape of your body. Alright? So you can't make those towels. And some people, they go out of their way. I saw it in Egypt at the airport that a lot of them, okay, they try to follow the things to the letter of the law. So instead of stitching it, they use those metal rivets. But they make like a sleeve, and you know, the towel now looks like a shirt. This is what is not allowed. This is what is not allowed. Not literally stitches, like, you know, with a thread. This is not what is meant here. Okay, so the belt you wear, if it is stitched, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's a label on your thing. I mean, you're not obliged to take the label off because there's stitching on it, or the shoes that you wear. You know, you're not. You know, this is not what is meant at all by that hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You may wear a watch, you may wear, a belt. All right, you could use an umbrella. But you can't use a hat. Men, you can't cover your head, and even when we're sleeping. Don't say, oh, it's noisy, I want to drown the noise out and cover your head when you're sleeping. No. In your sleep, what happens, happens. You're not conscious. But as long as you're conscious and aware of what you're doing, do not cover your head, even when you get in the bed. Okay? Allahu ta'ala.
And you can carry stuff.
Yeah, I mean, don't carry much with you. Just carry a knapsack, you know, in your bedding, and that's it. Okay? No. It's for the next. Nah. You'll find in the booklet when we send it out to you, and by the way, everyone give your emails to Ahmed, okay? I'm just in the process of now fine-tuning a few things. I told you I have a booklet that I was working on, translating it and so on. Alhamdulillah, it's pretty well done. I'm just going to fine-tune it. Leave your emails with Ahmed, and if people online want it, then just email me your emails, and I'll send it to you. If you want it in Arabic, I can probably find it in a soft copy, so also let him know. Just next to your name, with your email, write English or Arabic. Or if you want both, that's fine. I'll send them both to you. Okay? And inshallah, in the next few days, maybe by the end of the week or whatever, I'll have them emailed to you. So the brother is asking about placing a condition at the time of ihram, that if something should hold me back, then I will remove my ihram wherever I am, the place where I was held back. It is not prescribed to just say the condition for the sake of saying it, all right? But you will make that condition, you will stipulate that, and you will find it, inshallah ta'ala, in the booklet. You will stipulate that if you have some fear. La samahallah, there are people that may have heart conditions. Sah? certain illnesses and so on. So they would be prevented from completing the Hajj. They might be, there's a chance. Okay, or you know, there's some circumstance that you have that might prevent you from completing the Hajj. In this case, you will stipulate when you're doing your ihram that if something should hold me back, then I will remove my ihram at that time and there's no sin on you. Yeah. So, but don't just say I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna make that condition just in case. But this is not acceptable. No, because otherwise you would have to repeat. You'd be obliged to repeat the Hajj. Not only that, you'd be obliged to complete this one and do another one after that. So it could be serious. But again, everyone knows their circumstances, right? So unless it's needed, then you don't do it. Allahu Ta'ala.
Another thing is a woman who's preserved will go to Hajj. If it's one by Sohbat Amin.
No.
She can do
it. No. The brother is asking that if a woman is going to do Hajj without a mahram, and she has, you know, good travel companions and so on, and she could, you know, find security with them, then is this permissible? According to some of the ulama, such as Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah, Imam Shafi'i, if I'm not mistaken as well, alayhi rahmatullah, then they allow this. However, these ulama, wallahi ikhwan, we love them. And we do nothing but ask Allah Azza wa Jal for the best for them. However, as Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala himself said, كُلٌّ يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَيُرَدُّ إِلَّا صَاحِبُ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. He was sitting in the masjid of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and said, from everybody we will accept and we will reject. Except for the one who rests in this grave. And he pointed to the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Based on that, I say this. What we know from the authentic sunnah is the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام forbade this. This is clear cut. There is no clear cut evidence allowing it. When they came to the issue of, well, it's permissible, they took it from other ahadith that have nothing to do with these types of things. They talk about the final hour, you know, the last day, and a time will come when a woman could travel from this distance to that distance and she wouldn't be scared of anything. But this isn't evidence. I mean, alhamdulillah, I mean, as I say, they are mujtahideen, and the way they looked at it is, well, you know, they said perhaps it's permissible, but this is not really what it shows. It just shows that this is how circumstances will be, that it will be possible. It doesn't mean that it makes it right. And this is what the majority say, that it is not permissible. And I say that it is best for her deen not to do it. Alright? And I'm aware of many circumstances also where it happens that the woman goes, ya'khwan, especially at the jamarat, she needs somebody to help her. If she falls. I mean, of course, other men are going to be there quick to pick her up and whatever else, but why does she have to be in that situation? If she had a mahram with her, he would take care of things. What if, and again, we know situations where it happens. What if, you know, they get stuck somewhere at some airport? Possibility. La samahallah. Something's wrong with the plane. Something happens. There's one example that came to me, one incident that came to me as well, where, you know, they were stuck and, you know, they didn't have much place. So they put men and women in one room to sleep the night. And anything is possible. We hope, inshallah ta'ala, that these things don't happen, but they might. So, the safest thing is that, no, we say, don't travel. I mean, for me to say it's okay, no. Because I have to answer for that on the day of Qiyamah, so I'm not willing to say that. Because, الَّذِي أَدِينُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهِ. And what I believe between me and Allah Azza wa Jal is that it's not permissible. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Fasting during the days when you are in Mecca, of course, in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, or at least the 9 days, it is prescribed for everyone to fast. Except for the Hujjaj when they are performing the Hajj. So on the day of Arafah, it's not haram, but it is makruh. It is disliked for us who are in Hajj to observe the fasting. You need your strength that day. The Prophet, it is not from the guidance of the Prophet alayhi as-salatu was-salam to fast on the day of Arafah if you're in Hajj. Those who are not in Hajj, we're telling them fast on the day of Arafah. Araftum? It's different. Because they don't have to go through the things that we have to go through. So it is not prescribed for us while we're in the Hajj. But while you're in Makkah, the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, all those days, it's okay. As a matter of fact, it's sunnah to fast as many of those days, I should say, as you can. Allahu Akbar. Alright, so inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave it at that. And as I said, the booklet should be ready for everyone within a short period of time. And if we have anything else, of course we can discuss it. هذا والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك.